This is Daniel Jones, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, it's your friendly neighborhood trash man. Back with a little bit of free agency action, but a lot of scuttlebutt. A lot of scuttlebutt in the NFL right now. Draft coming up, free agency, prospects still out there. But there has been one move that's been taken over the past 24 hours, and it involves a player who I loved coming into the NFL out of A&M. That's wide receiver Josh Reynolds, who has signed with the Jets for a one-year, $2.75 million guaranteed contract. Reynolds is he's on the wrong side of 30 right now. It's hard to believe. It seems just like only yesterday he was just coming into the NFL. You know, and he's had decent seasons. You know, he had a decent run in Detroit. He's always been one of these guys that you can just plug and play, and he'll fill the role nicely. He comes into an undermanned Jets receiving core, led out by Garrett Wilson and a bag of peanuts. The depth chart, as of now, for the Jets at the wide receiver position. So we have the newly added Reynolds. Then we got Tyler Johnson, Brandon Smith, Marcus Riley, Alan Lazard, okay. Xavier Gibson, still some upside to Gibson. And then Aesop Winston. And then we got Malachi Corley, who we've yet to see come to fruition in the NFL. But another guy, I guess like Gibson once was, had some juice. Still has a little more juice, Corley, I would say. And then Irvin Charles and Ontario Wilson. I mean, I'm a trash man, and I haven't heard of three-quarters of these guys. Right now, it's looking like the starters are Wilson, Lazard, and Reynolds. With Reynolds being on the outside, opposite Wilson. I mean, if things stand, if that stands going into the regular season, that actually puts Reynolds in a good place for fantasy production. I mean, teams are going to pay the most attention to Wilson, as you know, rightfully so. But that leaves Reynolds and Lazard, who are actually kind of similar players if you squint, to catch balls outside of Wilson. I mean, you can see Malachi Corley working his way into the slot, but that still leaves Reynolds on the outside. So I don't hate Reynolds' fantasy prospects right now. He looks like a starter at this current juncture for the Jets. We know he can produce. We've seen it in stints. And he's got Justin Fields to chuck him the ball downfield. Big rangy receiver Reynolds is. Massive target range. Harry Snowman, welcome to the chat. New starting tight end for the Jets too. Yep. We talked about Stone Smart when he was added. It was the last week to the mix. Looks like he is in line to be the pass catching tight end for the Jets. Still, I think that leaves a lot of targets for Reynolds. Things are to stand as they do now. So Reynolds, one to watch. I mean, the chances are you're not going to have to draft him. I mean, you could take him in the 14th round if you wanted to. But chances are he'll be readily available come the start of the 2025 season, if nothing else changes in this Jets receiving core. And maybe even if they do add a receiver or two in the draft, doesn't mean they're going to play ahead of Reynolds. This isn't one of the weaker drafts we've seen for receivers in recent years. So Reynolds has some juice there opposite Garrett Wilson and the Jets offense. Kind of love it for fantasy. If you're a trash man, you have to. Something else that I'd love for football, maybe not fantasy, but it looks like the move to ban the tush push is getting more momentum. The Packers made a move to ban it earlier this offseason. And soon teams will have a chance to vote on it. A lot of fantasy players who have taken Hurts have benefited from the tush push. But it looks like the odds are going to be evened, or at least have the chance to. They just need 24 votes to ban the play. But don't forget, they tried to ban it last year too. But they fell well short of the votes needed to ban the tush push. I mean, seeing the Eagles in the Super Bowl this past season, I think maybe a few more teams will be hesitant to let it continue. It definitely helped them in their run to the Super Bowl. And the run to the Super Bowl victory, I mean, a runaway victory, a landslide victory for the Eagles. Tush push is at the top of the heap. So seeing the success of the Eagles on the back of the tush push, I mean, they're a good team, don't get me wrong. They deserve to be there. But they don't need any help. What's up, Jamie? Thanks for saying hey. Terminal sarcasm. I should just start saying terminal scream. It'll be our thing. Just between us, you know. Harry Snowman adds, "Good morning to all, or GM to all." I'm guessing it's good morning. It could be general manager. Probably do a fair job. Stone Smart is appealing at ADP for me. Yeah. You're not going to pay a lot for a Stone Smart right now. No one is. This barren landscape, as far as tight ends are concerned, fantasy, Smart is a smart move. Jamie says, look up a picture of Desmond Watson, 465 pounds, defensive tackle. Can definitely stop the tush push. I like how you spelled tush there. Tush. You know, there's a difference. Harry Snowman adding, it's not rugby. We don't need scrums in the NFL. It is kind of like a rugby move, you know, now that I think about it. I mean, but isn't that what football is basically? You know? But yeah, I agree. I think the tush push, it's a bridge too far. Okay, we've seen them use the hack. Now it's time to right the ship. Get the tush push out of here. It'd be interesting to see if Hurts drops in ADP if they do get rid of the tush push. I mean, how many touchdowns is that? How many touchdowns does that take away potentially for a Hurts in a given season? More than a few. That could impact his fantasy stock. You know, and as Barkley continues his run there, it'd be interesting to see. More quarterback talk. Beat reporter Nick Underhill reports that Kellen Moore and many of the Saints' top people are expected to attend Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart's pro day on Friday. Saints need a quarterback. Saints need a lot of things. They got the number 9 overall pick. They could just as well go with Ashton Jaunte at running back, who is not too far removed from the skill set of an Alvin Kamara. And he'd slot right in. And I almost think they'd be happy to roll with Carr for another season, another middling, subpar game manager. But they're looking at Jackson Dart, who I'd be much more excited to see under center than Carr. Harry Snowman says, in regards to the tush push touchdowns, no tush push, 3 to 5 less touchdowns a season. I don't disagree. Maybe more. The Eagles wouldn't be happy about it.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
But back to the Saints. Jackson Dart, I think, would be a good fit for Kellen Moore offense. Kellen Moore led offense. Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if he'd be ideal for a Kellen Moore offense, but he's also one of the quarterbacks the Saints are looking at. Deion Sanders said recently that he'd be happy with Shedeur going to any of the teams that need a quarterback. On the Skip Bayless show this week, said, if it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. So I wanted to look at this. And kind of see what the best fit for Sanders would be based on the current composition of each of those teams. I'll start with New York. We've already talked about Sanders going to New York and his potential there. I think it'd be a good fit for him. Malik Nabers. It's not a secret weapon. It's a very well-known weapon. But stopping him is still a secret that no one knows. New York, a burgeoning offense. I feel like it'd be a, I mean, you know, it's the big city. It's the Big Apple. It's the bright lights in New York City, but it's still a situation that I think doesn't bring a lot of pressure for Sanders being there. I mean, they haven't won in a long time. So I think for them, it'd just be exciting to have a player of Sanders' ilk under center there in New York. You know, it's a storied organization, but it's been so long since they had success that I don't think a lot of the pressure that might come with coming to a team like the Giants would be as big of an issue for Sanders. Outside of Nabers, though, I'm not really excited about the Giants offense, about their skill players. I mean, Darius Slayton there, I've always liked him. He's like a Reynolds to me. He's a guy who can get big plays, who can have good games, but probably isn't going to be too consistent. For Sanders, I don't love it as much. I think it's a good move for the Giants, but for Sanders and his fantasy potential, I don't love it as much. Doesn't have that much to work with outside of Nabers. If it's Tennessee, I don't know if I like that anymore. The Titans right now, their receiving core. So they have Calvin Ridley still. They just added James Proche II. They got Treylon Burks still kicking around. And then Van Jefferson, who they added earlier in the offseason. Those are your top receivers in Tennessee right now. Yeah, there are a handful of other guys that you never heard of. But right now, Ridley, Burks, Jefferson, Prochet. Not excited if I'm Shooter Sanders about that receiving core. So for me, I think New York's still in the lead there. For Sanders fantasy output. Oh, this is interesting. Terminal Sarcasm asks, does Sanders' size and build affect his output in cold weather, especially the playoffs? Well, I mean, playoffs, I don't really see. I mean, talking about the Giants in the playoffs, I mean, that's wishful thinking right now. But yes, I think that his size, his build, I think it would be affected by the cold weather and his ability to move outside the pocket, definitely. I mean, during that part of the year where the playoffs would be occurring. He's a slight guy. I mean, his father was a slighter guy, you know, always seemed pretty wrapped up on the field. Long sleeves, gloves. I mean, those are necessary in any climate. Yeah, Sanders not a big guy. Could be affected by the cold weather. I mean, it gets cold in Nashville too. Gets cold in Cleveland. Doesn't get too cold in New Orleans. In fact, it gets the opposite of that. They're playing in a stadium. I mean, in a dome, though, so that bodes well for him being a winter soldier, potentially. So we have to throw that into the mix, too, when thinking about a good team for Sanders. So maybe that, you know, maybe that brings New York back to the pack a little bit. Cleveland, I perish the thought of Sanders having to go to Cleveland right now. Their receiving core, as it stands, Jerry Jeudy, we know about Jeudy and his upside. Steve Smith would tell you there isn't much to it. DeAndre Carter, recent addition. Michael Woods II, David Bell, wide receiver built like a running back. Never really lived up to his potential as of yet. And then Cedric Tillman, who is arguably the player with the most upside for me, for my money, in Cleveland right now. Add in Jamari Thrash and Caden Davis. But yeah, this is arguably, maybe inarguably, the worst receiving core in the NFL right now. Nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to play for the Browns. Jamie adds, Cleveland building a dome soon. Okay. Maybe that'll draw a little bit more talent there. But yeah, I agree with Harry Snowman. Says he's avoiding everyone on Cleveland this year. I agree. This might be one of the worst teams as far as fantasy potential we've seen in a long time. I mean, right now, they're starting running back. I mean, it's Jerome Ford. They got Pierre Strong behind him, but that's what we're working with in Cleveland right now. Their best player on the offense is David Njoku. Could be a massive year for David Njoku in fantasy. That could be the guy. The one guy on the Cleveland offense who I might take a swing at in fantasy. That's the one guy I wouldn't avoid. Just because, I mean, whoever is the quarterback in Cleveland needs a safety valve, and that's going to be Njoku. Sir Brooks, the second, echoing my sentiment, Cedric Tillman could hit the moon. He could. But he could also hit the pavement just as hard. A lot of upside there, like Mariana Trench of a floor for Tillman. Harry Snowman says he's a Jerome Ford truster. Good. Good for you. You trust Jerome Ford when there really aren't any other options in the offense? When teams can just key in on him? I don't. He needs some help. He needs help drastically on the outside to take attention away from him, away from the run game. Otherwise, stack the box. You know, that Ford's not going anywhere. It's not going to run. That Ford's not going to run. Like my neighbor's old Ford. That thing's not running. Jamie says the Cleveland team is worse than the 0-16 season. It really is. This, just looking at this depth chart, this is the worst NFL team that I've seen fielded in recent memory than I can remember. I've never seen a team worse than this right now. Sir Brooks asked, what do you make of the Jets receiver? We talked about, that was the first thing we talked about. Josh Reynolds there in New York, the addition there. That was the first thing we talked about. And it looks like Reynolds in the running to be a starter opposite Garrett Wilson. I think there's fantasy potential to be had there. I mean, he's arguably the next best receiver in that receiver room right now. I mean, Malachi Corley could make a step up this season. But yeah, Reynolds has a shot. Jamie says Cleveland needs R.J. Harvey. Cleveland needs a lot of things. But R.J. Harvey could be one of them. I like Judkins. I think Judkins would be a good fit in Cleveland. You know, big bully of a back who I think would have done more at Ohio State if Henderson wasn't there. I mean, he definitely would have. I think we'd be talking about him being a top two back if Henderson hadn't been there. But I think Judkins would be an imposing presence in the Cleveland backfield. Snowman adds, yeah, he's going to keep his Ford in the shop this year. But he's still a Jerome Ford truther. Good for you, man. Maybe I hope it pays off for you. I mean, he'll, unless something changes, and it probably will in the draft, through the draft. I mean, even if they do add a running back, it doesn't mean that Ford still won't be the starter come week one. I mean, and the starter on an NFL team is still, you know, not worth nothing in fantasy. Probably won't score that many touchdowns. But it could pay off for you. Jamie says he doesn't want the Browns to ruin any of the top running backs in this class. Oh, man. I root for the Browns. Like, they're just one of those teams that you just you want to see do well. And you want to see them get out of this hole that they're in. I mean, they dig their own graves, to be honest. Let's be honest about that. They dug their own grave with the Watson thing. Sunk too much money into that. To a losing battle. But they're honestly, this is one of the most stacked running back classes I've ever seen. And so it wouldn't hurt me for the Browns to get one or two good backs in this draft. You know, give them something to root for in Cleveland. They need it. Sir Brooks asks, will Justin Fields revive his career? He'll get the best shot he's ever had at it. This will be the best chance for him to produce from a fantasy perspective, which you've seen. We have seen a sky-high ceiling for Justin Fields in fantasy. That man is capable of putting up 30-pointers, 30-plus pointers. I mean, he really is. We've seen him do it. I don't know if I mean, you know, just looking at it from afar, I think the Jets are probably a better offense than what he had during his time with the Bears. I mean, the running backs definitely are. Garrett Wilson is arguably the best receiver he's worked with. Arguably. But yeah, for fantasy purposes, I think Fields will do big things. And I think he's a guy that you can get late, that you'll be able to get late in drafts. I mean, we always take quarterbacks late in drafts in Roster Watch Nation, but I think Fields represents a lot of value to be had in fantasy. And so with that, I'll leave you. A lot of quarterback talk today. But it's exciting. It's exciting to see the fantasy landscape change with the pick of a quarterback. Nothing quite like it. Stay tuned for Alex and Cody. And their sharp haircuts. Until next time, this was the Trash Man on behalf of RosterWatch.com. Be ready.